This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to G&D here on The Fan, no GP, but yes, Toby, he is in for the duration. Caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You'll win two tickets to see Rod Stewart one last time tour Saturday, July 19th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. That's caller 10, 800-636-1067. And I say to you, good luck. Beltway Blitz time. That's what we do every day at 4 p.m. Get your little cliff notes. You sound smart at the dinner table. What's going on in the world of D.C. sports? Let's start on the hardwood. Bijan Todd, Monumental Sports, covers those Washington Wizards. That's why we're having him on the Beltway Blitz to talk about the Wizards. Bijan, tough one last night against San Antonio. To me, I'm watching the young players. I'm watching them blossom. I'm happy about it. Only thing I'm bummed about is Alex Sarr's missed some time lately. What's the latest on him?
Yes, sir, Danny. He had a bit of an ankle injury a couple weeks ago. He's working his way back, and as usual, Brian Keefe is being coy about talking about it and not really giving us much of an update, but I would assume he would be well on his way to playing at the All-Star weekend this coming weekend in the Rising Stars game. Questionable, I think, against Indiana tomorrow. Hopefully he's good to go, though, but he's working his way back.
Every player that played yesterday in double figures for the Wizards, pretty impressive, but the leading scorer, Tristan Vucevic, I thought he was really impressive yesterday. What'd you make of his performance? Can we see more of him going forward?
I think you definitely can, Grant. The thing is, before February started, the most minutes he played in the game was 12, and since then he's been averaging almost 18 minutes a game. So his the amount he plays every game is certainly starting to go up. I think part of that has to do, obviously, with Sarr being injured and Valanciunas no longer being on the team. But hey, he's proving that he deserves a spot, right? Like, he shot 7 of 10 in last night's game, 18 points, led the team. He's great offensively. He can stretch the floor. He's a stretch big. Defensively, he's not there yet, and hopefully that's something that he can kind of offset with Alex Sarr. I think he has a bit of better, more touch from outside that Sarr can kind of fill in on the defensive side of things. But Vucevic is proving that he deserves a spot, so hopefully his minutes keep going up here as we plow along.
Speaking of guys that deserve a spot, I'm a Justin Champagne guy. I don't know that he's a bona fide first, second, or third option on a championship-caliber team, but to me, that's a winning basketball player, right? Whatever's needed that night. It's got kind of some Josh Hart to his game. Obviously, maybe not as skilled as a playmaker just yet, but whether it's a rebound in a big spot, whether it's helping out on a switch or knocking down a three, he was 2 for 2 last night. That guy can play in this league, man. And I liked what the Wizards are doing at this point. If they were Cleveland or a Boston team with eyes at a title, you wouldn't be able to give minutes to a guy like that. But you can find out in real time that this dude belongs, and he's got one of those chips on his shoulder type attitudes where once they put me in, I ain't coming out. I'm a Champagne guy.
Me too, and the organization is doing a good job, I think, of proving that hard work will earn you minutes in this league. And Linnell Willingham has talked about this before. Champagne worked his way up through the go-go. Now he's on the Wizards. He hasn't been converted yet to a full contract. He's still on a two-way. But hey, if he keeps playing like this over the course of the season, he will deserve that. And if you see any parallels between him and Bub Carrington, they both went to Pitt, and they're both dogs, man. They crash for every board. They scramble on the floor for every loose ball. He's a good shooter. He's a good defender. He can guard pretty much 1 through 4, I would say, Justin Champagne can. And that's something that I think a young team needs. And Champagne's only 23, so being a young player who has that toughness on an even younger team with a bunch of rookies on the team, I think it's going to go a long way to teach these guys, especially the rookies, how to earn your minutes in the NBA coming up from the G League.
new guys coming in, Middleton, Marcus Smart, when are we going to see them on the floor, and how much are they going to play, and what kind of rotation can we expect with those guys when they enter the rotation?
Not until after the All-Star break. That was pretty much made clear to us. There's only one game until then anyway, so they're not going to suit up tomorrow against Indiana. But both of them should be getting decent playing time afterwards. Smart's more of a question mark. You know, the big thing with him is durability. He's only played 39 games over the last 2 years, so if he can stay healthy, that'll be a big help to the backcourt. He has his finger bandaged up right now as we speak, but he's working his way back. He says that there's really nothing too bad holding him back from action right now, so he'll start to ramp up over the course of the next week or so. And Middleton should be good to go as soon as the All-Star break hits. I think they're holding him out more as a precaution for now. Again, he had surgery on both of his ankles over the past offseason. So, but he's proven that he can play in this league, obviously, and that he can stay healthy. Both of them, I think, should start in the first couple of games after the All-Star break. Smart should start or maybe come off the bench for Jordan Poole at point guard. It'll be interesting to see how Brian Keefe decides to dole out minutes there. But again, bringing in vets on a very young team can give them a tutelage opportunity. And Marcus Smart said last week, yeah, these guys should be learning from us. You know, we both played in the finals. Chris Middleton won a championship. So having that dynamic on the floor with a bunch of vets who have championship experience on a young team, I think will go a long way.
Bijan, I was surprised there wasn't more trade buzz around Jordan Poole. I just didn't see anything. I didn't see any kind of speculation, whether a deal came together or not. You don't just, you know, make a trade just to hear yourself talk. But I thought there'd be a little bit more buzz around a guy that's having a really good year with the ball in his hands. He could have helped a lot of teams.
I did, too. I thought there was going to be a little bit more buzz there, because if the Wizards wanted to sell him, of course they would be selling him super high. He's having one of his best seasons since that championship year in Golden State. But the Wizards wanted to keep him around, and I think part of that is because he's shown that he can be such a good presence in the locker room. You know, he intentionally put his locker right next to Bilal Coulibaly next year. He wanted to help assimilate him into the NBA. And he's also just he's a scorer, you know, and you need that on a team that's been struggling to shoot from downtown. You know, Jordan Poole has been shooting very well from three this season. He's cooled off a little bit in his last four games or so. But I was with you, Danny. I thought there was going to be a little bit more trade speculation there, but the Wizards are rewarding good performance, I think, and keeping a guy like Jordan Poole around to help in that scoring department and also be a locker room voice, I think, is the reason they kept him around. And I think he's going to be on the team for a few years now to come because of that.
Bijan, appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Too.
Let's talk some hockey, Darius. Joining us to talk some puck is Sammy Silber from Hockey News. Sammy, tell us a little bit about what some of the Capitals are going to be doing for this Four Nations break. I saw that you said that Alex Ovechkin is going to be going down to Miami to get, you know, just a little relaxation on that leg and get in play in shape and some of those things. What are some of the other Capitals going to be doing as well?
Yeah, no, they're having a good time. Quite a few are taking their talents to sunnier places. Tom Wilson, I know he's down in Mexico. Mangiapane's in, I think he's in Turks and Caicos. And then Charlie Lindgren's going to the Dominican Republic. So a lot of downtime with family, just some vacation, time to get away, not really think about hockey. And then Ovechkin's case, yeah, just rest, but also, you know, put some work in too. You know, it's going to be a big spring for him. So a lot of fun stuff happening.
Yeah, Sammy, over the last month, and listen, a lot of this is your sort of observational stuff, right? It's hard to complain about a team you know, with the second most points in the NHL with one game fewer than Winnipeg, who leads with 81. But you look at a month ago, starting on January 8th, it's a lot of, for opponents, ones, zeros. Looks like a binary code in terms of goals allowed, right? Over the last couple of weeks, there's some fives in there. There's a handful of those, and they've been coming back. And it's a credit to them they're able to do that. Like, you never count this team out. But at the same time, they're also falling behind and giving up a lot of goals. Is it just kind of a tired team right now, or is it maybe, you know, a chink in the armor here and there where they're not quite as tight and on point maybe as they have been?
Right. I mean, it could be a little bit of both, right? I think when you go through an 82-game season, which, you know, something that amazes me about the NHL is just how long this season is. I mean, you can say the same thing for, you know, like baseball, but it's such a long season, and there's going to be ebbs and flows, and you know, there's different teams that figure you out down the stretch too. Like, you start the year really hot, and then, you know, you face opponents for the first time, and then you face them for the second or third. And then, you know, you get into patterns with your game where, you know, maybe your starts just aren't so hot. Maybe, you know, you're running on fumes a little bit. And, you know, the thing about the Caps that you mentioned is it's amazing that they've been able to, you know, if they're trailing in a game, you know, 4-2, like you saw against Utah, and they're able to you know, come back and at least force overtime to leave with a point, it's a good thing. It's not something that they're, you know, jumping for joy with. You know, you obviously want to win games by, you know, a comfortable margin. So I think that a lot goes into it. I think the break will do them some good. You know, it does get tedious, and there are, you know, ebbs and flows that you go through. And I think it's normal for every team to not win every game. But then again, you know, it's, you know, this team likes to win. They hold themselves to a certain standard. So the break comes at a really good time where they can just kind of refresh and think for a second.
What is Coach Carbs going to want to see improve the most when they come back from the break?
Yeah, I think you want to see consistency over 60 minutes, right? I think, you know, you look at Utah and they win that game if they start on time was the biggest takeaway that, you know, we got afterward. You know, it was a really rough start to action. You go down 2-0 in the first couple minutes, and from there it's you know, possible for this Capitals team to climb back into it, but at the same time it's not a comfortable spot. So I think he wants to see more consistency. I think he really wants to see, you know, 5-on-5 chemistry. The power play really took a step in the positive direction with the changes it made recently. So just going off of that, but mostly just defensively responsible, playing the right way, playing to the identity through 60 minutes, you know, not having a rough, you know, second period and having to make up with it with a good third. So that's the biggest thing.
Sammy, thank you as always. Have a good week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See you soon.
You got to talk soon. Hit that local 53 sounder. Man, we are stuck with that name and it stinks. But our buddy Earl Forsey doesn't. What's up, Earl? Hey, watching the Super Bowl.
I was worried there for a second, Danny. We're stuck with Earl as a guest again.
No, we're not stuck with Earl. Watching that game on Sunday.
I'm not sick, by the way.
Was miserable.
I just jinxed it.
I know. Well, watching that game on Sunday was miserable. Watching the stupid Eagles and their fans celebrating
everything
like
about it. It's
awful. Yeah. Maybe the worst part about it, though, if I'm willing to look deep down inside me, is how good that roster is. What to you stood out the most in a stacked roster where every position group seems like it's top five in the sport?
Number one, they get it, but it's organizationally with them. And I put something out on X yesterday. It was Cowherd talking about Philadelphia, and he put up a graphic with all these players going back to 2020. Gee, what year was that, Danny? Oh, yeah, the year Ron came in. And that's when they drafted Jalen Hurts. So go back there, five drafts. 1 year they had two first-round picks. All five first-round picks since then are contributors for them. Second and third-rounders, basically a dozen key contributors over the last 5 years in the drafts. What's missing on this team except for the quarterback, which this group hit on, and some guys in this past draft that they had? They don't have any of that. They've cut most of these guys. They're the foundation of this team, and I hate to keep putting it on that guy who just took a job at Cal. Good for the NFL because he's not going to ruin anything else in pro football, the riverboat anymore. But that set them back. It's amazing they got to where they were this year. It's because of all the free agent signings, all the one-year deals. So that's what kind of stood out to me, is that they're built right. I mean, you want something else that's going to make you feel really bad if you don't feel even more sick as a Washington fan? There are now, Danny and Toby, how you doing? Three coaches ever in the history of the NFL, the greatest sport known to man, three that have ever in the NFL history been to two Super Bowls and won one of them in their first 4 years as a head coach. Mike Tomlin, the great Joe Gibbs, and Nick effing Sirianni. Oh, my God.
Mm.
Which one of those don't belong? He should be parking their cars at the NFL meetings, but it is what it is, right? Hello?
Tubbs, did we lose you? Uh-oh. Did we lose Toby? Uh-oh. Anyway.
I will bring up something else.
Oh, but I see. What's so weird is I see Toby right there. I'm looking at him, and I don't hear a word. Sorry, modern technology.
You're a good stand-up. You know, you always have to have material, right?
Oh, no
goes
kidding.
Silent. You got to move on.
I was totally out. I was going to do. Maybe I'll start doing like what they do now, the comedians on YouTube, where they just sort of mine for crowd stuff. You know, kind of like, what do you do for work? What's that like? And then like it's whatever. Anyway,
one of the great things I got to do on the last countdown to kickoff, I found this bit and I didn't know about it. Triumph the Insult Comic Doll visited the parking lot for the NFC Championship game. I played some of that. It was pretty good.
It is quality bets. So for this offseason, Earl, is there a spot where you kind of go, I need this to be a draft pick, and I need this to be a free agent. Have you kind of thought that advance, or it's just, you know what, bring me talent, I don't care how you get it?
Yeah, I don't think it matters, Danny. And there's so many layers because, and I put out the numbers today, you know, everybody's talking about, well, they have almost $100 million. No, they don't. With the new numbers in, and they've had to sign some future deals, it's $78.1 million right now. With 28 of their own free agents, some of those have to be re-signed. So, you know, $78 million doesn't go very far in the NFL like it used to. So, no, I'm not – and I heard you talking about, you know, with the projections in the mock draft. Look, here's – one thing is you obviously need work on both lines, right? That's where Philadelphia – and you knew this from the games you played against them. They can dominate up front both on offense and defense. So that's where you have to get better. It's a deep draft when it comes to defensive line, apparently. Running back is another – a thing you might need. That's a running deep draft there. I've heard, and looking at some stuff, there could be some quality offensive tackles at the end of the first round. Guess where you are now there? So that's good news. But another factor on that is this whole Myles Garrett thing that comes up with what he said. I posted on X about this because, one, I think it was Albert Breer speculating that Detroit could be a good spot for him. Oh, really? Here's with the Myles Garrett thing, if he is moved, you would think they're not gonna, they have to be somewhat smart there, right? Somebody's got to have somewhat of a clue. Maybe sure. Not there. But you'd think they get him out of the division, out of the AFC, right? Okay, NFC. You can't, if you're Washington, you can't let him end up with Detroit or, God forbid, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Howie Roseman has taken big swings before. We just saw it. Saquon Barkley. He'll find a way. So you almost have to be involved in that, like Charlie Weaver to block the old Hollywood Squares, to not let Detroit or Philly or someone like that get him. That's going to be a huge thing, and that's a month away. So I would expect them to be fully involved in something like that, and probably, my opinion, pick up someone and an immediate contributor somewhere on defense, offense, on both of those lines to kind of kick off the offseason. With, and another thing with the offensive defensive line, I know Toby brought this up. You have to get more out of those guys that are making basically $48 million side by side in the middle, and you could free up some salary cap. I crunched some numbers on Over the Cap today. You could get that salary cap up to $115 million available if you do the right thing with both of them. So who knows? It's there's a lot of work to do, but it's not a done deal. I've taken too long, but I will say there's precedent to this in this town. 1986 season, I sat there and watched the then Redskins get destroyed by the Giants, 17-0. It was more like 50-0.
Yep.
And Gibbs changed the offensive line next year. Bench Bostic, we got to get bigger. How do you beat the Giants? You got to be physical with them. He traded Doug Williams. He traded the future Super Bowl MVP. That was a done deal. And then he told him later in the day, nah, I changed my mind. You're going to help us. I mean, it's what, hey, I tell you what, man. You know, it's one of those, like, Gibbs, I got a feeling. And he was right. But so we saw that. How are you going to beat the Giants? How do you do? Well, you know, 12 months later, they're Super Bowl champion. So that stuff can turn around in a hurry. Philly was a 500 football team through the first month. Philly is a team that this Washington football team beat late in the season. So it's not they're not the immovable object that people are making them out to be. I think it's classic Super Bowl overreaction just a couple of days later. Things will be fine. Everything will be okay.
That's Earl Forsey. We will get Toby back here in a moment, and that is how we Beltway Blitz. So we're going to shift gears here, totally different. I think this is just a good sports topic. Let's put our Adult Swim pantaloons on, everybody, okay? And a Mavericks fan, this normally would not be something we're discussing a lot on the show, but I think it's sort of a tip of the iceberg to a larger issue in sports. A Mavericks fan got kicked out for a pretty ridiculous reason. The Mavericks removed a fan from the stadium who was supporting the team, who was advocating for something. Wasn't belligerent, wasn't drunk, wasn't doing anything really that wrong in most people's eyes. We'll tell you about that, and we'll kind of get into what that means for sports and sports coverage. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. GND, hanging out with you guys on The Fan. No GP, but yes, Toby. That was a terrible rhyme, and I apologize for doing that. 5 o'clock hour. We've been talking about this throughout the show. I actually want to hammer down a little bit on it. The fact that there are two defensive tackles here in Washington who weren't terribly productive. You're probably not getting your money's worth there. What do you do with Allen and Payne? We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. But Tobes, and here's where I want to go in this moment. So I don't know if you guys have followed this story, and you know, it kind of sent shockwaves pre-Super Bowl when the Mavericks traded away Luka Doncic before they a year before they would have to give him a huge, mega, enormous NBA super triple duper max extension, a guy that dragged a pretty okay team to the finals where they ultimately couldn't win it, but one of the handful of the best players on the planet. So Doncic gets traded. When that trade happens, there's going to be opinion. There's going to be even blowback. There's going to be some upset feelings from some fans. Some fans might like it, some fans might not. But a major move like that happens, Toby, you'd probably agree, there's going to be some kind of reaction, yes?
Yeah, big time.
Right.
Of course.
So here's what's happened. Several fans of late since that trade at Dallas games have voiced their displeasure, okay? And they've had several incidents of fans getting removed. Now, if you are, we talked about this when it came to the incident that involved Bradley Beal and ultimately Bradley Beal's wife, where a guy was voicing his displeasure with Bradley Beal, didn't curse, wasn't belligerent, and, you know, led to a big blog and everybody, you know, standing up and saying how, you know, this guy's the villain and she's the hero and how weird that whole exchange was. So if you're belligerent, if you're cursing, you're loudly intoxicated, you're breaking rules, by all means, get ejected. I don't think twice about it. The thing that happened last evening, okay, is two fans at the Dallas Mavericks home game are holding up a sign that read, "Fire Nico." That's in reference to general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, Nico Harrison, the guy that was, I guess, the mastermind behind the trade. Although, you know, team owner, of course, probably have to sign off on something that significant. But it's no longer, remember, Mark Cuban calling the shots. He sold the majority stake. So the "Fire Nico" sign is a no-no because it's big enough, I think, to maybe block some people, right? No. Here is the rule. This is from the NBA, or from the Mavericks, I guess, via the NBA. In the first incident, the guest brought in a sign that broke the following rule, including in the NBA code of conduct. Clothing, garments, or signs displaying explicit language, didn't happen, no explicit language there, profanity, no profanity there, or derogatory characterization toward any persons. Mavericks Vice President of Corporate Communications, Aaron Feingold, said in a statement released to reporters, "Fire Nico is not derogatory. That is not an insult on somebody's character. It is not. That is a lie. That is not correct." Okay? People tell me I suck. That's different than "fire Danny." See what I'm saying? Like, a personal insult is just that. You could come up with a million ways to insult somebody. You guys are adults. You've been insulted before, and you've probably done some insulting. "Fire Nico" is not derogatory. It's not a characterization of anybody. There's no profanity. But the next thing that happens is during, you know, one of those in-stadium fan events, okay, where they're doing a sing-along or some kind of thing, and everybody's got to stand up there and try to sing the lyrics as they come up on the screen, the guy uses his time on the Jumbotron to mouth the words, "Fire Nico," and sell the team. Okay? So I actually think it's hilarious. And so the camera awesome. Quickly cuts away, and then they go back to people that are having fun in the arena, singing along to whatever kind of song. All right? So they go and find the guy, and they kick him out. They kick this fan out of the game. Now, again, there have been others where guys are belligerent. They're not far from the bench, yelling, profanities used. Mark Cuban has shouted at somebody. Again, I don't know anything about that. I know about this one, though. No curse words. No explicit language. No, starting fights with security or getting in the face of other people in the stadium. They kick the guy out because he thinks the GM is doing a bad job. I tag you in, Toby, but I've got some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where we talk about these sorts of moves not all that often. Obviously, not a Luka trade for an AD, but this sort of thing where a general manager needs to be able to make a principled move where he says, this is going to improve the team whether the public likes it or not, right? This is a sort of move, the Soto trade, right? This is a move that Mike Rizzo feels, I need to make this move, whether the general public's going to like it or not, and you have to deal with the blowback of that. You have to be able to, so essentially what they're trying to do is have their cake and eat it too. Make the trade and then not get any of the negative blowback. People are, I'm sure, are calling into this radio stations down there and saying things, but they're not having anything in their face. They're not, I mean, Nico Harrison trying to play a little victim. And the issue here is there are some fans who take it obviously far too far.
Of course.
Fact that he feels the need to, you know, add extra security or stuff like physical harm, legitimate threats, like that's clearly not okay. We understand that. But a simple sign saying, hey, dude, you traded our superstar who's 25 years old for a guy who's already now hurt, which has a history of injuries, and you're pretending like this dude was so out of shape, Jamarcus Russell style, 1 year after carrying us to the NBA Finals, I'm going to bring in a sign simply that says, fire Nico, and you're going to kick me out of the arena. Now, on the other side, I kind of understand that that's going to happen if I'm a fan. I wear it as a badge of honor. You know, if I'm going to do something like that, like, you know, people that I'm sure got kicked out during Snyder's time with signs and different things, or they had the signs
confiscated. Remember they were confiscating the signs? Yeah, it was a thing.
Yeah.
All the time.
So, like, you would wear that as a badge of honor. You understand it's going to happen. So I don't, that fan, I'm sure today, is totally fine with what, like, he doesn't want to be kicked out, but I think he understood that maybe something would happen. But it's not a good precedent, because you got to feel for the people in Dallas, for the fans of the Mavericks. Like, your guy that you love didn't ask out, wasn't causing problems, was going about doing his normal Luka thing, and all of a sudden he's gone, and you're trying to say, hey, GM, you suck at your job, and he's saying, yep, you can go kick rocks too.
So there's even more background to this. Dallas, according to what I've read, did not show fans on the Jumbotron in their first home game following the deal. Think about that. Think about going to a game, and at no time do they pan the crowd waving for this or dancing for this and, hey, I'm in the stand, section 115, let's spot the cow or whatever the hell you're going to do. They did not show fans on the Jumbotron their first game after the deal. Then this, I have, not only do I have no sympathy, I've got anger here towards the Dallas Mavericks and towards the league in general and toward where things are going in sports. Okay? Now, I fully recognize, and you guys can call me and tell me that I'm, you know, an old man shaking his fist at the ocean here, and that's fine. I'll welcome it. This is one of my pet issues. This is something that I'm so unbelievably passionate about and that I care about, and I feel like nobody else does. To me, this is a direct product, Tobes, of what I call state-controlled media. When you have team owners owning the sort of means of coverage of things, and I don't know what the Mavs TV network situation is, and I don't care, but it becomes more important, like Snyder's than Redskins for so many years, to control the messaging and the narrative coming out than it does to actually improve the product and try to make people happy, paying customers who opt into your thing. You don't like what's being said, so instead of changing what, you know, or improving or doing something, you restrict commentary. You remove somebody that disagreed with your general manager. That's what he did. He never cursed. Now, again, if he's being belligerent, if other fans are being disrupted and the sign is too big so they can't see, by all means, I got no problem. He said, fire Nico, because he got one over on you in your own stadium in-house production. That's on you. You found the guy that's already with the sign to do your dumb sing-along out of 17,000 fans. And you couldn't believe it that he said that, and you kicked him out of the game. It's soft, and it's wrong. It is wrong. This is a phenomenon that where nobody seems to care about the encroachment. Okay, nobody seems to care about the idea that the state-controlled media can just kick somebody out because of this. This should be an affront to fans that you're not going to get the real analysis. Because I got news: when you're in the employ, when you're on the side of, if I want to keep my gig, I better be nice to the Yankees. If I want to keep my gig, I better say good things about the Mavericks. If I want to keep my gig, I better tell you how great losing by 40 was tonight and how I was excited to see the effort. This is not good for coverage. Now, I know it's sports and it's not as serious as real world stuff, but I will use a real world comp here for a second. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this level of state-controlled media for stuff that really matters? It would never be allowed, even for a second.
Yeah.
And for a mic, like, can you imagine, like, the federal government of or the national government of some country, like, issuing statements through their own media, and then if someone's like, "Hey, I got a question," get out, you can't be here. Like, it's such a fundamental thing, and it's so abhorrent. And the fact is, this is a byproduct of that directly to me. You couldn't handle the criticism that was inevitable when you traded a 25-year-old superstar. I, by the way, don't think it's a crazy move. I think behind the scenes, this is my own hypothesis, they asked the guy, they begged the guy, please get in shape, please give a damn. He didn't, and they knew he was going to start breaking down at some point via injury or whatever, and they go, we can't pay this guy $360 million or whatever the number is. We got to get out now. I know it's not, the trade's not going to end up good for me. Anthony Davis gets hurt when you say his name three times. He's like the inverse Beetlejuice. It's not going to work. We're going to be worse for a while. But you've got passionate fans who give a crap. Imagine driving them away by not letting them give a crap, by telling them, don't you dare give a crap. You need to tell us how excellent it is. Here's your bitter pill to swallow. Now compliment us and get in line for another. I'll kiss 100% of my ass with this. I think this is embarrassing. I think the league should be stepping in and saying, hey, you guys, you got to cut this crap out. Not just for you, but for everybody. We're lucky to have eyeballs. If the NFL holds a flag football game, right now, if you get, the McCourty brothers to play flag football, it's going to do better than a primetime NBA game at this point. We're lucky to have anybody give a crap. And globally, they're growing, and they've got eyeballs everywhere, and they'll scoff at me and thumb their nose at it. I'm telling you, you're driving away fans by the number. For all the young fans that don't give a damn about any of the teams and just follow James Harden wherever he goes and love the modern version of And1, they're doing just fine. I'm sure their bottom line is great, and they'll tell me that I'm an idiot. I'm telling you, this is so off-putting to me. I am so pissed off about it, and I wonder if people feel the same. I know I monopolize a lot of time. I want to hear from you guys on this. 800-636-1067. You can tell I'm fired up. 800-636-1067. I just want your reaction to this. I tried to lay out the facts as unbiased as possible. I did a terrible job because I'm completely biased here. I'm super irritated by it. They kicked this fan out of the game basically because they caught him on the Jumbotron saying "Fire Nico" during one of their little in-stadium games where they're singing little songs. Everyone's doing a sing-along, and instead of mouthing the words to "Like a Prayer" by Madonna, he goes "Fire Nico," and they kicked him out of the stadium for it. 800-636-1067. Give me your reaction next here on The Fan. G&D here on The Fan. We'll get back to your regularly scheduled football conversation in about 10-plus minutes right here on The Fan. No GP. He's out sick. I got Tobias Funke hanging out with me until the duration, until 6:30. It is snowing a lot outside. That's why we're doing the shows from home today. We're worried about being able to get home at night. It is gross out. It's now starting to stick, Tobias. It looks bad. It's not just the yard. It's now pavement-type stuff. This is going to be a mess. 800-636-1067 is the number. So I'm hot about something, and I know I think I'm the only one. I know this about myself. This is the thing where I scream like a crazy person. I'm like Mugatu in Zoolander, where I feel like I'm the only person that noticed that Zoolander has one look. I find this stuff so upsetting, and I'm the only one. I'm just ranting and raving like a miserable person, and sort of that's it. The fact is, the Dallas Mavericks kick a guy out because he said "Fire Nico" on the Jumbotron. And then they cite these rules that he quite frankly didn't break. That's kind of the summary to me. Anything else is sort of, I don't want to say academic, but that's kind of the central crux of it. So I asked people their reaction, and I'm going to take my medicine here. 800-636-1067. Let's go to our buddy Chris in Hyattsville online, too. Chris, what's your reaction to the fan getting kicked out?
I mean, it's two-pronged, right? One, do I think it's wrong, the wrong thing to do? Yes. But is it in their right? Yes, of course. I mean, we think of these franchises and these teams and these facilities as public ground. It is not. These are private businesses. They're practically corporations, okay? And we pay for the right to be there handsomely. They can restrict that privilege whenever they want. If you don't like it, if you think it was unjust, you can sue them. But, I mean, that's the way things are. And I'm not saying I'm like it. I'm just saying that's the way the world has become. And you try to use this example of some kind of, you know, dictator state or whatever, where there's state-run media. Oh, I got news for you, Danny. We have that going on right now.
Thank you, Chris. So here's my only pushback on that, and I appreciate the phone call as always. It's always thoughtful. So if there's no public involved, then the Mavericks, I don't know what their situation is with the city or whatever. You need to give me back that tax break. You need to give me back those sorts of things, right? There's this public-private trust that happens when you have this many members of the public going into your facility. And I'm sure there may be money donated for, not donated, but maybe there was a bond raised or there's a tax benefit here and there. I'm with you. It's kind of the same way I feel about, colleges, public or private, but I could kind of get into other areas there. To me, I understand they're allowed to do whatever they want. A restaurant can refuse service to, you know, near anybody if they don't like his conduct or someone's behaving boorishly, et cetera. So they're within their legal grounds. My problem is several fold. I've kind of laid it out already, Tobes, and I'll tag you in here. The reasons they cited are bogus. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. So I can't have it when you're going down my leg and you tell me it's raining. That I can't do.
What I... To bring this to D.C. so that people understand just a little bit of... I think most people understand the gravity of this trade, but I think it might hit home a little bit better. This would be the same as if the Capitals out of nowhere traded Alex Ovechkin in 2011. That would have been his seventh year right in the league. He would have been 26 years old,
yeah.
And they traded him for some 30-year-old winger, hoping that he was going to be able to help. That's what it almost seems like the Mavericks are stunned by the amount of frustration and consternation and distaste for this trade, which I don't understand. Like, people are outside, like, laying tributes as if he had passed away. Like, mm-hmm. they were laying right. their jersey out in front of the Dirk statue. Like, stuff like that just doesn't happen over any random trade. So, I'm not as worked up about it as you, because I think as a fan, I would gladly bring in a Fire Nico sign, right? And I would fully understand that I'm probably going to get kicked out, and I would say, great, I'll wear that as a badge of honor mm-hmm. and live with it. And I know that everyone that is a Dallas Mavericks fan with me will be totally on my side. I don't mind that. But it baffles me that they seem to be so, like, they're doubling down on. I think the owner's comments to the Dallas Morning News made it somehow, like, worse just by saying, like, we don't want dudes that don't work hard and all these things. It's just wild to me that it seems like they are almost floored by the negative reaction by Mavs fans when you traded the most popular dude in the city.
Right.
that's the guy everyone loved.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you're now in the same company as James Dolan with the Knicks. I mean, that's who you are. That's the kind of company you're keeping, where you don't like what people are saying about you, so you silence them and shut them up instead of doing the right thing, instead of doing better.
Well, and by the way, you know, if you're the Mavericks, you can make these sorts of moves and you can start doing these sorts of things. Be ready to walk into what the Washington Redskins did with Dan Snyder for years,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, totally different. You know, Dan Snyder was doing horrible things and this is just a bad trade, like, what, whatever. But if you want to keep treating your fans that way, watch your fan base disappear.
Let's go to Byron in San Antonio on this. What's your reaction, Byron?
I understand everything that you guys are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the guy's receiving death threats. You know, they've increased security. And to have one guy to be on his jumbotron, he could start something that could snowball into something that could end up being a whole totally different thing. I understand everybody got the right to say what they want to. The trade, in my personal opinion, it's horrible,
mm-hmm.
But at the same token, he's the owner, he's the GM, they traded him. That's what they wanted to do.
Sure.
Fans just suck it up, or you just move to a new team, or you just suck it up.
Byron, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess what I would say is the only thing I would take pushback on is I sort of reject out of hand the idea that somebody said, I think this person should lose their job, and then equate that to any sort of escalation that results in things that are totally inappropriate. To his point, like, I do not endorse or condone a dude receiving death threats for making a trade I didn't like. That would never happen. I think that's wrong on its face. I think we know that. I think adults can discern between the two. So for years, for example, I would do a tweet a day on reasons that Ernie Grunfeld should be fired. Right? I thought it was long overdue, and I thought it was just an insult to Wizards fans, the few of us that were still left. And so I did that, every single day. And I'm sure that annoyed people. I'm sure that bothered some. I'm sure other people, maybe on who agree with me, found the way to either enjoy it, not enjoy it. Who knows what happened? But sort of expressing myself. Now imagine that I'm on the Jumbotron. By the way, I probably wouldn't put me on the Jumbotron if I was the Wizards, while I'm saying that their GM, who was bad, should be let go. But they did that. They found the guy in the stadium that had a Fire Nico a poster board that they confiscated and took away, who, doing their karaoke thing, said Fire Nico instead of singing the words. Like, at what point can you just do better? You see what I'm saying? Like, I understand your point, Byron, about, you're as a fan, I was left to this for the then Redskins, for Washington. If I would have loved to have been able to walk away, and probably logically I should have, a thousand times over for some of the indignities that we suffered, but I stayed with it, and I was a glutton for my own punishment. That doesn't mean that an organization just kind of gets to keep getting away with it for that long. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and to my original point, his thing of just move on, I understand what he's trying to say, but this is what I'm saying. When you're a general manager, you're going to make a move that's not popular. You have to stand on it. You have to deal with it. Like, that's part of it. If you want to say, I'm going to trade so-and-so, who's the star of the city that everyone loves, and then afterwards say, don't say anything bad to me then don't make the trade and leave your job, because that's part of it, right? Like, you don't think Mike Rizzo heard bad things when he traded Soto? He stood on it, though, right? Like, that's what happens. That's the nature of the business. That's what comes with it. It's heavy as the crown, right? Like, you win a championship as a general manager, you're going to get a lot of praise. You trade Luka Doncic, you're going to get a lot of crap.
We got to jump to break, but I'll tell you this. The other night during the Super Bowl, I tweeted that I didn't love the Bruno Mars halftime show. Can you imagine if I blocked and kicked everyone out of my feed that disagreed with me? Not even, the people that call me names, I said, you got to go. But the people were like, no, what are you talking about? He was great. Imagine if I kicked all of them off. What would you say about me? Daron Payne, John Allen. What are we doing about that? We'll talk about that next on The Fan.